conference that was held about 2.5 years ago for the first time. And it was Evangelical Alliance put it on, along with Hope and also the Church of England evangelistic arm. And it was quite interesting because the whole of the conference was about talking Jesus. That was the hashtag talking Jesus. And for the information that you can go online at www.talkingjesus.org and you'll be able to get all the information that they presented to us. And there was a lot of figures, a lot of statistics that were given over the course of the 24 hours that we were up in this very nice hotel up in Windermere. And we had round tables and we had discussions, and it was all about talking about Jesus. That was the whole of the subject matter. And some of the statistics that were coming through were 0-4s, for instance. If you can get a 0-4 into a church scenario, hearing the stories about Jesus, then the statistics of them following through it into a true relationship with God are very, very high. There's another statistic saying that between 11 and 25, lots of people actually leave church. That then certainly the 11 to 18 bracket, even higher than the 18 to 25. But there is a big statistic in these books that says that lots of people who are brought up in church leave church at that age group. And, you know, again, there was other statistics saying that if you are from a middle class type of environment, you're more likely to get saved in your teenage years. But if you come from a working class home, then it's the age group is a little bit higher because you find that a lot of middle class families haven't been exposed to church life or going to church. And because they weren't and aren't exposed to that, it's only later in years that it's through somebody speaking and talking Jesus to them that they begin to accept Jesus Christ into their life. There was another statistic that was talking about how over 50% of both young people and the adult population, and they did a survey of about 8,000 people. This is the adults, and they've done a survey, I think it was around 1,000 for the under 18s. And in this statistic, they say that a lot of people know, I believe over 50% of people know somebody who's a Christian. And there's a lot of statistics that are saying that actually out of that 50%, lots of people are quite interested in hearing more about Jesus, more about an encounter with God, who he is, wanting to know the reality who Jesus is. There's another statistic that says actually when Christians speak to some of these friends of yours, that because of the way that we communicate with them, we put them off. And so all of this was talked about, and again, there's no conclusions, but one of the things that, you know, we want to ensure that as Christians, that we are not afraid about talking about our God and our Father and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are more than happy to talk about Jesus wherever God places us. We had Kurt Erickson last week, and one of the things that he does, and this is an opportunity I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to probably talk about it a little bit more next week. But Kurt Erickson goes to two places to feed the homeless and then to have a church service talking about Jesus on the street. One is a Saturday morning. near London Victoria, at the Catholic Cathedral, just outside of Victoria Station. And they meet there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they go through to about 8 o'clock. They feed the community that are there at that time, and it can be a small number or it could be a large number. It all depends. It can be sort of 15 and it can be 30. And it varies. And again, they will have another 15-minute sort of church out in the street where they will sing a song, there will be a 5-minute message, and then there will be an opportunity for people to receive prayer for whatever the situation is. Now, Roof has been going every other week, and they are delighted to have Roof join them. They also do an Ilford. They do one in Ilford, which is the east of London. And that's Sunday morning at a similar time. And at that time in the morning, again, you have opportunity to come to the church here as well. So you could do the Ilford if you live on that east side. We believe that it would be good. And this is our heart, okay? We can't force you to do this. But we would love every one of you between now and Christmas to go out on one of those situations. Obviously, we're not going to ask you to sign up today. And whatever we put on a list and whoever wants to be involved in this, I will then be sending it to Kurt to get his okay on it. Okay, so we're not doing this as Kingdom Faith. We're coming to support Kurt Erickson and his ministry. But, you know, something's happening already, and it's a good ministry that he's involved in. He's been doing it for many years. Heidi Baker was involved in what he was doing. And, you know, we're not talking about sending 15 of us all on one occasion. We're talking about getting a rota together where maybe somebody will go with Roof. Just one other person will go with Roof, so that we are sending two, possibly maximum three, per week or per every other week, or even, you know, per month. But it would be fantastic, and I would love everybody to go out and be involved in this mission, who are part of this church. I'd love that. So I'd like you to pray about that this week. And what we will do is we'll have just a list of people who are willing to be involved in this. And then what I will do is I'll get a list together, and then I'll send it over to Eric, Pastor Eric. Kurt. We will see what he says. Is that a good idea? I just think that, you know, we need sometimes to get out, you know, from a missional point of view, that we can get comfortable, and to go out and to do something with somebody who's already established, it's good. Do you want to just come and sort of say, Roof, please, just a little bit more information about that, whatever you feel is relevant?
Well, I started going really for that reason. I thought, I want to do something that's not consumed with my own life or my church. I want to do something else, and be involved with people's lives that have need. It's an easy way, actually, to get to do something like that, because it's someone else's responsibility, it's someone else's ministry, and I just kind of pitch up and just be there. And it's different each week, it's very simple. It's giving tea, sandwiches and hard-boiled eggs to homeless people that come by. They've been in the same place every Saturday morning for 20 years, bar one week, apparently, that's what I heard. So the homeless people know they're there at 7 o'clock. And sometimes there's only a few people that come. Sometimes there's more. We serve the food and we just chat to people. And then a little bit later, Kurt will kind of call us together into a bit of a group. We'll sing one song, and someone will give a bit of a message, 5 minutes, and then we'll pray for people. And sometimes the homeless people will come and get a sandwich and buzz off again. They don't hang around. That's okay, because we're here to serve them. And sometimes people hang around for that service. And it's if you're nervous about this sort of thing, it's actually an easy way because it's a safe environment, and you can just pitch up. And I try to go every second week, and I might increase that, but I thought I need to pace myself. And I'm very happy to talk to you more about it, and very happy for you to come with me if you like, so that you're not going out on your own with a bunch of people you've not met before. And the other thing, even though each week it's different homeless people coming, sometimes you see the same people every week or regularly, but often it's people I've not seen before. Kurt might have, but I haven't. But what I'm really enjoying as well is the team that's there. There's a core team that are there every week, and week in, week out, and they are their church. And I'm enjoying being part of their fellowship, and it's a lovely group. So talk to me, and I'll share more with you.
After once 8 o'clock, they do pack up, and then they go round to McDonald's, I believe, for a cup of coffee, and 8:30, and they just have another half an hour, 45 minutes debrief. And people, they've been doing this for many, many a year in that way. So it is an early start, but it would be an opportunity. Ilford, obviously, we've not been to Ilford, but it's quite close to the police station in Ilford, near a church called Capstone Church, in an arena there. And it's quite interesting. That's a Sunday morning. So if you are more interested in the Sunday morning because you live out that way, then we can talk to you about that as well. And then I'll talk to Kurt because, as I say, we're coming under his ministry. So this is not Kingdom Faith London. This is Church Without Walls. Okay. I just want to make sure that's clear, that we're coming alongside him and the ministry. Now, Kurt is going to be going away to South Africa for about 5-6 weeks. So his son, Adam, who was here last week, along with some of the regular team members, will be continuing. And if you do enjoy preaching on the streets, then you have an opportunity. I've got the privilege of being able to do that. So I will go and give a 5-minute preach on the street to whoever's listening. And that would be a fantastic opportunity because we've got to keep it simple, certainly out there. And there will be people who, may have heard the gospel message many a time, but there may be one or two people who've heard it for the first time. And, when you speak the name of Jesus anywhere, what a privilege. What a privilege. Turn to this now. When I was in Windermere, one of the things that we went out to pray around the lake, and I'm just going to share some thoughts with you because I had a great time in that hour. Windermere is an amazing place, and if you've never been there, please, it would be fantastic for you to go. And we were on the lakeside, and we were all around the lake, and there was about 30, 40 people, all from different denominational churches, all from different places in leadership, in a sense. They were all leaders and all senior leaders. Some were the decision makers within organizations and streams, and others were like myself, who was going on behalf of Kingdom Faith and Pastor Colin Urquhart. I was up there for as the Kingdom Faith representative, for instance. And it was just an amazing time where we were all lined up on the river, and there were some mountains there and some hills. And
while we were praying, actually tears were coming down my eyes, because I just saw a mountain and I saw a cloud on top of it. So I couldn't see the actual pinnacle because the cloud was covering it. And in that situation, God just reminded me of how Moses used to go up to meet with God. And then when he came from that meeting with God, his face was radiant because he had encountered God. And in that encounter with God, it was just because he was in true relationship with the Father. A real relationship, not superficial. It wasn't something that was lukewarm, but it was something very, very real, very tangible, something that you could touch. And that was just like, you know, in the days of Adam, when Adam and Eve were walking in the garden, it was like, you know, when they took of the fruit of the tree, it was like God was saying, Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Why? Because he loved that relationship with man. And God still loves that relationship with man. And it was just a real stirring in my spirit. And then God took me to the Acts of the Apostles in this prayer time. And I'm still on the lakeside. And just God just reminded me that Peter, when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he did was that he went out and he started to talk to the people, the crowd, about what he saw and what he had heard. He talked about Jesus. He talked about his understanding of who Jesus was, that relationship that Peter had with Jesus. And so on the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter stood up and everybody thought he was drunk because he was so happy and everybody else was speaking in tongues and everything like that. Speaking in other languages, it says, doesn't it? And people could understand from all the different nationalities that were there present at that time. People could understand. And God just reminded me that Peter, in that situation, talked about his relationship with the Father, what he'd seen. And then I was taken to the piece in Revelation where it was just that whole thing about the word of your testimony. You know, and God just reminded me, your testimony is not something always, you know, when we think about testimony, we think about, okay, how did I become a Christian? And a lot of people think when you're coming to share your testimony, that's what you're meant to do. But actually, God just reminded me that the testimony that he's talking about is actually what is current that you have to share. What is current that you have Jesus that will come into your situation, your circumstance, that will bring the transformation in your life, your situation, and the lives of other people around you. What's your testimony? If I went around with the mic to everybody in this room, my question is, what's your testimony? What is it that you've got fresh from the Lord that you have to share with somebody else? What is it from the encounter that you had today, yesterday, the day before, this last week, that you have as a something that you can share about Jesus with somebody else? And this is what happened in this lake. I was just on this lake. Not literally standing on the lake, but on the side of the lake. And, you know, it was the whole thing about what have you, if you were Peter and you were speaking to the crowd, what would you be saying? And it was just like the whole thing dropped in me from the Lord, I believe. It's like, actually, it's coming from the encounter with God in the heights, on the mountaintop. You then come and start to proclaim and speak about what you received from the mountaintop. That's what Moses did. Moses came down the mountain and he just literally sort of said, this is what God wrote, this is the information. And because this is the information, this is what we now need to do. And it's just like the whole thing for me is because of this room, this situation that we're finding ourselves in at this moment in time. You know, even I don't know if you noticed, it was happening more last week than this week, but when people were walking around, when worship was going on, people were watching and looking up to see what was going on. People were hanging around out the back just now, just finding out what's going on. And obviously, students are coming back next week. And so for me, it's an opportunity I believe God is giving to each one of us, not just here in this place, but I believe in this place there is a significance of what God's doing. The worship goes all around this building. The worship even goes out onto the street here. We're raising up the name of Jesus, but there is something that God does. And in that, we're sharing testimony. When we're singing, we're sharing testimony because we're singing the truth of who God is. Why? Because it's relevant for today. We're not singing something of the past, even though we sung about the cross today, but it was for a now moment. And you see, for me, this is something so relevant, even to what's happened in Parsons Green this week. I thank God because I believe that through the prayers of Christians around this nation and around London, it prevented, I really genuinely believe it prevented that bomb going off, killing many, many more people if it had exploded in the way that it was designed for. I believe God did something that brought that particular device to not work properly. I just read what God said to me. Son, I continue to expose darkness in the areas where my children of light dare to go. This is both in the spiritual realm and also in the places where you go naturally. I believe that, you know, we talk sometimes about what we call spiritual warfare. This is a term that we use when we pray, but we're praying God's light and truth to come and expose the darkness and the false, the lie of the enemy in our nation. We're in a battle, and we can talk about where that battle is, and we can it's not for now, but we can talk about the battle, but we are battling against Satan and his forces, okay? That's what I believe. I was so blessed because in Windermere there was a gentleman there from Korea, and he was a young man, and his heart is to bring people from the large churches in Korea who come and pay their own money, pay hotel fees, and they come to pray for our nation. They come to pray for London. They come to pray for this nation. They come to pray for a move of God in our nation. And there's parties of people from Korea coming regularly to this nation just to pray. Why? Because they see that we're in a battle, that they thank God for our nation as being an ascending nation, being a nation that has had an apostolic, because an apostolic is about sending. And we have, because we've allowed God to do so much in our hearts in this nation over the last 400 or 500 years, we as a nation have been an ascending nation. Now, some of those things that we've then done as a nation haven't been very good, but at the end of the day, we were when we went into a nation, we took the gospel message into the nation too, into India, to actually a Welshman went into North Korea. And there's all sorts of things that we have done as a sending nation. And they realize that it's because of what God has done in this nation and being a sending and apostolic nation, they realize that they need to come and sow back into this nation. And the way that they know how to is to pray. And Korean churches around this nation already who are established here, they pray regularly. They pray sometimes. I know a church that pray in the morning and the evening every single day for a move of God. Why? Because they're in the battle. We've got to speak light. We've got to speak truth. We've got to declare these things in every situation and circumstance. And that's why I believe that what God told me to write was this, you know, is certain I continue to expose darkness in areas where my children of light dare to go. I believe that there has been children of light praying that darkness is exposed in our nation. There's been more arrests in this year than for many a year in anti-terrorism situations. I believe that it's because children of light have started to pray and declare light in the situations and circumstances in our nation and in this city of London. We are on a critical level, according to government, not government, it's that organization that declares the status, COBRA. And it's a critical level, which they are saying is another attack is likely. I believe as children of light, we need to be speaking against the darkness and being, you know, and this is the big level stuff, but this is also taking it down to where you are in each and every situation. You know, Naomi in her workplace and her environment, you know, she is a child of light, and taking that light wherever she goes. If you understand who you are and you are a child of light, then something is going to shift. Because where light is, darkness has to go. That's a natural law. Not just a spiritual one, but a natural one. But you take it into a spiritual dimension. These things need to happen, but we have to understand, just like Moses had to climb a mountain to encounter God, and then he brought down the message from God that he then declared, we still have got to be people who continue to go and encounter God on the heights so that we can then come and declare what he wants here on earth in the situations. And that includes prayer. And it says, it went on, I have people everywhere who is speaking light and truth. And because it's a response to what I'm saying, faith, I am obliged to answer. That was what God said to me. I'm obliged to answer when people are praying light in faith over a situation or circumstance. God said to me, I'm obliged to answer that. Why? Because it's faith. And God will always respond to faith, according to my Bible. It's amazing. And this was all on that water's edge, that he downloaded all of these things to me. Now, I've got to live those things out, just like you and I, you have to. And, you know, on Wednesday, we have a prayer meeting, and it's not just a prayer meeting, okay? We're not going to sit around in a circle and, you know, God bless so-and-so, God bless. We want to meet with God on Wednesday, the 20th, at City Temple. Which is Holborn and then turn right. And it's a quarter of a mile down that road. We want to encounter God. We just don't want to encounter the presence. We want to meet with God and encounter God. So that when we hear what he's saying, we can then speak that as light into the areas that he shows us to pray for this coming week. But we will start by meeting God on the heights. We will start by going up to the mountaintop. Yes. That's our heart. Now, sometimes we'll climb halfway and we'll get to a plateau, and that can be what we feel at the end sometimes of a time with the Lord. It's like, we could have gone further, but that's fine because we're learning. But what we want to do is to get into that place where God then begins to speak to us so that we actually can begin to declare the light and truth, so that the testimony is, this is what God said. This is what Jesus has said. This is what Jesus is wanting to do. This is what Jesus wants to say. All of these exciting things that God is wanting to do here in London and in this room that comes, you know, people down the stairs can hear what is being said here. So whoever comes up and speaks here, we've got to, I'm not saying compromise, because I don't believe in the word of God we compromise. I don't believe that's the truth. I don't believe that you life is about compromise, okay? In politics, you compromise. In different situations, you compromise. But with the word of God, you don't. Not the truth of who Jesus is. You know, you have to sometimes work through different situations, and certainly in politics, you have to learn to fight your battles. If you've got children growing up, you have to learn to which are the most important battles to win in that situation. And sometimes you can have a whole list of things that you would love to change with your children, but you just look at the highlights to see which ones are the important ones, and you learn to adapt and work with and compromise, in a sense, those other situations for a time until other things are dealt with in school, in work. All of these things you have to work and work together to see a result. However, with the word of God, you cannot compromise what he says. So we can't compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't compromise that he is the only way. He is the truth. We can't compromise that he did die on the cross. It's quite interesting. There's about 25, 30% of people who believe that Jesus was a fictitious figure, that he didn't exist, that he was made up. But there's another statistic that sort of says that actually a lot of people, even though they don't go to church on a regular basis, they still believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, even though they don't go to church. Now, that's another challenge for us, that there are people probably in your world that do know the Lord Jesus Christ, or they know that or believe that he's Lord, but they don't go to a church. They're not part of a family. And that may be for many different reasons. But for me, the family of God is an important place that he wants us to be, so that we can actually portray and proclaim who God is, so that we don't compromise this. You know, this place, I believe that God, speaking about the same things, was that when we were on the sixth floor, it was like our light was shining, but it wasn't seen as much. But down here, we guys are exposed a little bit more. And I praise God for that. I do. Because we're not now just hidden somewhere. We're a lot more exposed. People coming up that stairs when students come back next week and the week after, people start to mingle around, and as I said, there was a guy who works out in the street cleaning the streets. He was hanging around at the back before. There's people going to be wandering and listening in, and obviously it's not what we do, it's what God does that are going to arrest them. But in our obedience to what God is saying, that we're not going to compromise truth, we're going to speak truth, we're going to declare truth. And what we worship, we're going to have to, we worship. And, you know, we want to meet with God because he's the one that changes everything. There was a church, and in the church, This was in the church in Kent. They got a banner right at the back. One word from God changes everything. And I believe that people coming up that staircase over the next weeks and months, they're going to hear something that will arrest them. Something is going to be from a worship point of view that God is going to get their attention one way or another. It may be that we're not going to see something, but we might be praising and worshiping God and somebody comes up their stairs and sees tongues of fire on our heads. We might not be able to see that physically, but they may do. God's capable of doing anything that we're talking about here. But you see, it's what you do with the light that God's given you. The statistics that you're in these books saying that there's lots of people who want to hear more about Jesus than we think. We sometimes believe that nobody wants to hear about Jesus out there. These statistics prove otherwise. People want to know about Jesus. Now, there's a way that we need to communicate about Jesus that is not going to be pointed finger, judgmental, but through love. But these are the things that are in these statistics. Now, there's many scriptures. Let's very, very quickly, and please you can start to play. I just want to take us to some scriptures. And I'm just going to read them. John chapter 1, verse 4. Says this. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We need to remember that as children of light, darkness cannot overcome you. Sometimes we may feel that, but darkness cannot overcome you. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. It says this. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Then John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 12, verse 35 says this. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. This was Jesus talking to his disciples. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. That's talking about our relationship with the Father, that we can be children of light, but we need to remain in that place. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out of the truth. It's quite strong, isn't it? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. And then just two more scriptures, and it's in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. And there's several scriptures in the Psalms that talk about light. But I just wanted to pick two. Psalm 19, verse 8. I actually like this scripture. I'm going to start from verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. There's some great things in that scripture. But then finally, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my light, and whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes that will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. And then it goes on to say, one thing I ask from the Lord, this one thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And then it just goes on and on. My heart says to you, this is verse 8, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Oh, it's a great scriptures. Please could you stand? Naomi, Ruth, Mikey, if you could come and just stand up in front, please. I just feel that there's a number of people who, you know that you want to live as a child of light. And for different reasons, you don't feel that you're being as effective as you want to be. And I just want you to come out, and these guys are going to pray for you. If you want to come to the left, so that possibly that way, one way, that way. I want you just to come, because for me, I believe in the power of prayer. I think there's somebody here that you're going through a health situation, and it's a little bit dark for you. And I just really believe that you need to come and have somebody pray God's light into that situation. There's others that you don't not quite sure what direction to go in. And again, I believe God wants to show you his way, his life. So again, light in that place. So as we continue to worship God, I just want you to come and one of these guys or myself can pray with you. And all we're going to do is speak light into that situation, and they may have words around that, but we want to declare that you are a child of light, and that in your life this week